Chapter 7. Raish Selden felt extraordinarily contented, for it was the first dinner en famille that he had had in some months with the two people he thought of as his father and mother. He knew perfectly well that they were not his parents in any biological sense, but it didn't matter. He merely smiled at them with complete love. The surroundings were not as warm as they had been in Streeling in the old days, when their home had been small and intimate, a virtual gem in the larger setting of the university. Now, unfortunately, nothing could hide the grandeur of the First Minister's palace suite. Raish sometimes stared at himself in the mirror and wondered how it could be. He was not tall, only 163 centimetres in height, distinctly shorter than either parent. He was rather stocky, but muscular, and not fat, with black hair and the distinctive dull-eyed moustache that he kept as dark and as thick as possible. In the mirror he could still see the street urchin he had once been before the chanciest of great chances had dictated his meeting with Harry and Dawes. Selden had been much younger then, and his appearance now made it plain that Raish himself was almost as old now as Selden had been when they met. Amazingly, Dawes had hardly changed at all. She was as sleek and fit as the day Raish had first showed Harry and Dawes the way to Mother Rita's in Billy Botten. And he, Raish, born to poverty and misery, was now a member of the civil service, a small cog in the Ministry of Population. Selden said, "How are things going at the Ministry, Raish? Any progress?" "Some, Dad. The laws are passed, the court decisions are made, speeches are pronounced. Still, it's difficult to move people. You can preach brotherhood all you want, but no one feels like a brother. What gets me is that the Dalites are as bad as any of the others. They want to be treated as equals, they say, and so they do. But given a chance, they have no desire to treat others as equals." Dawes said, "It's all but impossible to change people's minds and hearts, Raish. It's enough to try and perhaps eliminate the worst of the injustices." "The trouble is," said Selden, "that through most of history no one's been working on this problem. Human beings have been allowed to fester in the delightful game of I'm better than you, and cleaning up that mess isn't easy. If we allow things to follow their own bent and grow worse for 1,000 years, we can't complain if it takes, say, 100 years to work an improvement." "Sometimes, Dad," said Raish, "I think you give me this job to punish me." Selden's eyebrows raised. "What motivation would I have to punish you?" "For feeling attracted to Geronimo's programme of sector equality and for greater popular representation in government." "I don't blame you for that. These are attractive suggestions. But you know that Geronimo and his gang were using it only as a device to gain power." "Afterward?" "Yes, but you had me entrap him, despite my attraction to his views." Selden said, "It wasn't easy for me to ask you to do that. And now you keep me working at the implementation of Geronimo's programme, just to show me how hard the task is in reality." Selden said to Dawes, "How do you like that, Dawes? The boy attributes to me a kind of sneaky underhandedness that simply isn't part of my character." "Surely," said Dawes, with a ghost of a smile playing at her lips, "you're attributing no such thing to your father." "Not really. In the ordinary course of life, there's no one straighter than you, Dad. But if you have to, you know you can stack the cards. Isn't that what you hope to do with psychohistory?" Selden said sadly, "So far, I've done very little with psychohistory." "Too bad. I keep thinking that there is some sort of psycho-historical solution to the problem of human bigotry." "Maybe there is, but if so, I haven't found it." When dinner was over, Selden said, "You and I, Raish, are going to have a little talk now." "Indeed," said Dawes. "I take it I am not invited." "Ministerial business, Dawes." "Ministerial nonsense, Harry. You're going to ask the poor boy to do something I wouldn't want him to do." Selden said firmly, "I'm certainly not going to ask him to do anything he doesn't want to do." Raish said, "It's all right, Mum. Let Dad and me have our talk. I promise I'll tell you all about it afterward." Dawes' eyes rolled upward. "You two will plead state secrets. I know it." "As a matter of fact," said Selden firmly, "that's exactly what I must discuss. And of the first magnitude. I'm serious, Dawes." Dawes rose, her lips tightening. She left the room with one final injunction. "Don't throw the boy to the wolves, Harry." And after she was gone, Selden said quietly, I'm afraid that throwing you to the wolves is exactly what I'll have to do, Raish.